Morning, Peter.
Morning, ma'am. How are you doing?
I'm good. This is Miss Foundation. Long time.
Miss Foundation, how are you there? Long time no hear.
I'm good.
You saw that despicable video going around like yesterday?
I'm afraid of the videos.
Why?
I'm scared of those kind of videos.
Yeah, no, the girl, they had a girl with a foundation uniform fighting.
I know, I saw. But I just love and look all.
It was very disheartening.
Yeah, because of the uniform. But you know, that's not the first video with the foundation.
It's true, it's true. No, but the last one with the foundation uniform, the girl was being bullied.
That was disgraceful.
And she ended up getting an award for showing restraint. But this girl wasn't showing restraint, man. I seen bubbies flying and all kind of thing. It was most disturbed. Not her bubbies, but somebody else's.
Mm. How are you, Peter?
I'm good.
Okay.
I believe I can say bubbies on the radio, right, Dennis? Yes, Dennis is telling me I can. Yeah.
Okay. So. I heard you and somebody last time talking about Marsha Kettle. The person was saying that she was kind of insignificant, maybe in her stature, but I don't know. This girl is a powerhouse.
Diminutive stature, but definitely she's a powerful voice.
Okay, and her hairstyle is so beautiful, so natural and nice. I love her.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing her on television. There was a conference, Peter, and this man was saying before 24th of May, he was her boss.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's a boss, and this woman gave a smile out of this world. This girl, she's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
She is so sweet. So after Prime Minister Motley, for me, is Marsha. And I realized too, Peter, that all the other political parties are having women as their leaders. Is that coincidental or is that scary?
You said all the political parties have women as leaders?
Yeah, the majority of them.
It don't scare me, but I know it scares some people.
I don't know.
The march of feminism frightens a lot of men. I believe that my boss David Ellis is somewhat intimidated by powerful women. I'm not so intimidated. I hope he's listening.
I enjoyed him yesterday on the program. I laughed so much.
I enjoyed it too. I enjoyed that exchange between him and the fella that called me just now.
I laughed so bad yesterday. And this man was saying that Dr. Grinish don't move like a minister, like a Peter, I get some good kick, but I love it. You know, you learn a lot of things, you know. But let's get down to some serious stuff now.
Yeah.
I want to talk about my prime minister. I want Barbados to know if they don't stand by her, stand with her, because that's the reason that we voted. We had a need for change. I mean, and Peter, them 16 men, boy, them 16 men. I don't want to talk with them. I want focus on PM Motley today, right? I want my prime minister to know that Miss Foundation, Sharon, I am backing you. Don't care what you do. Don't care what you come with. I think you are right. I don't know a lot about macroeconomics, Peter. Sometimes I got a little $100 bill. I got my light bill to pay, my water bill to pay, and I still got my food. I don't know the juggle, so you know what I'm saying? The people that don't know, just keep quiet, because when these 16 other bulldogs are doing what they're doing to we, I got Barbados can't pay a debt. I don't understand what's going on. We need to, you know, I have a friend who's a mechanic, right?
Mm-hmm.
He always speak to me about emotional intelligence, right? I don't know. Peter, I love my prime minister. You want to see what I'm saying? I mean, she is so, you saw her at the United Nations meeting?
I did, yeah. I did.
You saw her, those polka dot silk. You see that she had a paper?
You like the polka dot outfit?
You love it. Love her too. You see that she had no paper?
Yeah. I don't know if that's necessarily always a good thing, though.
Paper.
Yeah.
No, she ain't got a read from the paper because she ain't practice it. Mm. She don't do it. It's not necessary. Peter, as long as it's in your head, it's there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's in your head. And you know what warned me to her, Peter? Then she said, let me tell you what warned me some more to this woman. When she said she told the person she had to cut short her meeting at the United Nations and go home to her people, Peter, I feel real good to hear that word come from my prime minister. Cut short my meeting and go home to my people. I feel real good. I was so warm. I was so heartened. I don't care what it said with Mia Motley. And for me, Mia Motley can't really do no wrong, though. And I love Vinnie. I love Vinnie yesterday. Call her by her title. I love you, Vinnie. I see you a bit like Misty. Love Miss P too. But Peter.
Yes, ma'am.
If we don't, if you see BERT, B-E-R-T, it's a serious thing. And I don't think that because my prime minister, Peter, remember campaigning was going on, very subtle even, and they had rubbing shoulders and this thing and the next thing. Oh yes, be honest about that. And we are there. And we need to embrace the prime minister. We need to give her support.
Okay. Agreed,
morally.
Yeah.
Huh?
I agree.
Yes,
yeah.
We need to give her moral support, love support. I even think that we need to give her concert, a I Love You PM concert on Sunday. So, because this woman got me back.
All right, Ms. Foundation. Ms. Foundation, we got a run, all right? We got to take a message. Thanks a lot for calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. I have a note here from Carl Moore. And Carl writes, Peter, your economist made a telling analysis of our current malaise. It's a pity that he or she had to do it from the safety of anonymity. When you sign your name to what you write, you're supporting your own idea. It's your progeny. Own it. Don't just put it out there and run. Suppose Einstein had tossed his E equals MC squared out there and walked away from it. Anyone, including Donald Trump, could have laid claim to it. When you sign your name, you emerge from a stifling catacomb of anonymity and begin to breathe the fresh air of your own identity. It is a liberating freedom. Why are we so afraid to identify with the views that we hold? And Carl, I couldn't agree with you more. I have often made the point that I write expressing views on all manner of things in the public domain. At the same time, Carl, I am also a living example of the reason why many would prefer not to. The individual that I read from holds a responsible position in an institution, and as such, it would be unwise for him to be identifying views like that openly. I have no such challenge. The problem, of course, is that I probably have a mortgage for longer than this other individual is. In many instances, we choose the security of institutions because it gives us the financial safety and so on to stand. The University of the West Indies is one of the few institutions that gives you one and allows for the other, which is freedom of expression. But beyond the University of the West Indies, there are few institutions where one could speak openly on professional matters and yet still hold that job. I can tell you, Carl, that I know for sure that I would not be considered for employment in many places because of views that I hold. I remember many years ago when I was still relatively junior as a writer, I went to a job interview for an international organization, and the person who was interviewing me said, quite frankly, Peter, this is a non-starter because your views on so many issues are out there and are well known, and it would serve to be a distraction for the people that we serve as stakeholders. So yeah, there are good reasons why people may want to maintain the anonymity. I understand that. And I think in some instances, it is entirely justified. These are the choices we have to make as adults and professionals. Dr. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Peter. Good morning to Mr. Johnson, and good morning, listeners.
Yeah.
Mr. Wickham, sometimes when I call you, I usually talk about the Bible, but this morning, I want to take a different course.
Okay. Sorry. So just stick a pin for 1 minute and to say that I have received confirmation that Nikki Haley did resign, but I was asked to make a clarification. Apparently, she's going to take up a post at the UN Security Council. So she has not resigned to run away from Donald Trump, as I suggested, but she is essentially taking up a more senior post with the UN Security Council. So that's the reason why she's resigned. Thank you for that clarification, Wayne. Dr. Brass Tacks, sorry, go right ahead, sir. You were saying you're not talking religion. You can talk religion, I don't mind.
No, not necessarily. It will be in there. What I want to speak about is yesterday while listening to Mr. Ellis, and a lady, you know, she spoke from her heart. And she said she sent some applications for some work. And she get replied by to say that she was too old.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Mr. Wickham, that is discrimination to the fullest degree, man.
But how are you going to do about it?
That's the thing. No, I mean, it's not that need looking into. I don't
but
are
you going to look into it and do what? Tell people you got hair, old people?
No, sir. You got to strike a balance.
Yeah, but I'm saying, how are you going to do that?
How am I going to do that?
How are you going to do that?
But, sir, boy, that's a difficult one to ask.
You have a job for a shop attendant that you have to advertise. And you have probably 50 applicants. Are you going to choose one of the applicants that is young, or are you going to choose the applicant that is old? You're running a business.
In the case that, and if it is a one-off situation, but the lady says she applied for more than one place.
Yeah, but the problem, sir, is that that lady is facing a challenge that people who are in their 40s will face.
Yeah,
it is difficult
that.
When you are past 40 to apply for a job anywhere, unless you're applying for a job as a senior professional.
Right. Well, yeah, because even the lady, one of the ladies, a person walks up, I can't remember the lady, who said she had the qualifications in Barbados and she still can't get a job, but she's 52 years old.
Right, she's not. She's going to have challenges at 52 years old getting a job. And, sir, I am, yeah. For that reason, I am very sympathetic to people who are thrown on the breadline in that age range. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. I mean, I am in that age range now, and I know that the moment that I go there looking for a job, it is going to be challenging. The problem, however, sir, is it's not one that I can say you can legislate away. You have to change attitudes. You can't
correct.
Legislate away the problem.
Correct. And another thing she said too.
But I'm saying in terms of coming with a concrete proposal, what do you think can be done about the problem?
It's the same thing as you just said. We have to change the heart of persons. That's the only solution, my brother.
Yeah.
You know, I just say,
I think that is easier said than done, and it's one thing to call on a program and say something needs to be done about it, but it is not easy to do to fix it.
Yeah, but you know, you see, I just say I'm sympathetic with them, but another point, she mentioned something there.
You know, another problem too, a lot of people who are in their 40s are qualified to do things that are no longer being done in many ways, right? You realize how much the work environment has evolved over time. There was a time when I came to this same radio station, and there was a post caller operator, right? Where the person used to sit at the board and operate, and Auntie Olga, Uncle Carson, and whatnot used to be announcers. So Auntie Olga was talking, and the operator was operating behind the scenes. That post no longer exists. I'm fortunate in that I get to talk without operating, but that's only because if they allow me to operate, then the station would get sued more frequently. So, you know, it's easier to have Dennis to ensure that we don't have to pay legal fees. And that's why it happens. But generally speaking, that's a problem that you have. That when you get to your 40s and you don't evolve, it's hard because you're doing something that no one is interested in having someone do anymore. So one thing is, what are kinds of creative ways and means we can deal with this problem? Sorry?
But, you know, even something like, for instance, the lady says she done a course that cost about $3,000 and there's the course that the one that pays $6 an hour. We're going to do that part now.
But sir, who going to do about it? What is who going to do about it? That's what I'm asking.
Well, sir, Mr. Vickham, you don't even know what to tell you. Like, or it's true.
Because, see, I mean, go ahead.
They got some painters, right? The painters were at least $16 an hour. At this period, it has qualified at that moment. It's just a skill to have. You know what I mean? And the job might be a bit tedious because they got to go on tall buildings and paint, which I know the average person might not want to do. But the point of making me $6 an hour, Mr. Vickham.
Yeah, the challenge that you're going to have is that you may not want to pay for that. You may not want to work for $6 an hour, but there's somebody else who will.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not mm-hmm. saying that. I mean, but that's just, to be honest with you, though, in Barbados, right, in 2018, $6 an hour ain't cutting it at all, but nothing. You got real help, brother, from family and friends. And that will also cause you to steal.
Sir, all I'm going to say to you is that when you're having these conversations, a minimum wage cannot only be about the fact that a person needs more than $6 an hour to survive. A minimum wage has to be about the ability of the entity for which that person is working to sustain that wage. The two have to go in tandem. Because if you're saying to me, it's all about me coming in and demanding $6 an hour because I need that to work, an employer can always say, well, I can't afford to pay $6 an hour, so I won't employ you. And the point I'm making, sir, is that it has to be two ways. We have to ensure that entities can produce enough to pay someone well, and then someone will get a good wage. So there's two sides of the same coin. So I'm saying it's not enough to call a program and say, yeah, I mean, $6 is always too little money. I agree with you. Yes, people who are in their 50s and 40s have difficulty getting work. I agree with you. We have to come with ideas about how we can move ourselves along a different direction. What would have happened in the 1990s when cable and wireless, as an example, merged and it became with BET? I think the first thing we had, Bartel, and they sent home a whole raft of workers, many of whom have not worked since, right? But they had good pension plans, and a lot of them essentially relied on those dividends to be able to carry them through. But you're going to have a similar situation where now technology advancements and efficiency advancements have moved a lot of people out of the workforce at an age where nobody is going to employ them. The question is, what do these people do with their times? And I'm anxious to hear conversations about ideas about how we can get these people moving. Do they go into to entrepreneurship? Do they work for themselves? Do they offer services, you know, which were similar? A number of the ladies from the University of the West Indies that were clerical officers, when they left, they came out and they were offering some of the same types of services. I mean, they did the typing thing, and nobody really paying for that, no. But many of them did courses in like cake icing and decorating and stuff like that. And they offer some of those types of services, which they can offer and can help them to make a living, to make ends meet. But that's the kind of conversation that we need to be encouraging, you know.
Can I say something, Mr. Bickham?
Sure, go right ahead.
I can't remember how much years ago. I went at the shop with $5. I bought a Coke, a pack of biscuits, and a tin of sardines. I get back change.
Mm-hmm.
A few years after, I went at the shop with bought the same items with $10. The woman gave me back $2 and stuff. She said, I shake my head, Mr. Bickham. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is how far it gone. I still don't believe that boys were able to know $6.
Yes, sir, if anybody is working for $6, the entity that is paying them more than $6, the entity has to be able to afford to pay them more than $6. This idea that you can magically legislate salaries and that the money would appear is something that is a fiction. So I am saying I appreciate where you're coming from, but I just believe the conversation has to go beyond saying we have to legislate a wage. Somebody got to be able to afford to pay a wage.
Okay.
You know, when you look at the household and you say nobody should have a person working for them and being paid less than X, okay? And there are people who work in houses that get paid less than X. What the householder would say, well, I ain't want anybody locking me up. Why would we just not have the person, period? I know a number of people who have maids that go to work and don't do nothing, drink a cup of tea and sit down and talk. If you can't afford to pay that person a legislated wage, then you would say, well, the person won't come, and you would be lonely, and they would be lonely, and they wouldn't even get a bus fare to come and sit down and talk. You understand the point I'm making, sir?
Yeah, but
there's another side point to the conversation.
But no, there's another point you don't bring. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes if a person is being paid $6, they make a do nothing at all, and they just sit down and just breathe. Just
still
getting away. Just
trade
your money anyhow.
All right, fair enough. All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling. This is good talking to you. I had a couple more comments that I wanted to read regarding this situation that we are having with the... two quick points. Hey, Peter, as it relates to the University of Washington fiasco, how can it be fit to have five persons to one room? Is there not an occupant load? Has the chief fire officer inspected and approved that housing arrangement? Are we going to wait until an incident relative to be reactive, or should we be proactive? Or where is the owner of that site hotel not being accountable for such living conditions? Secondly, the government has many vacant buildings which are left to deteriorate. Could one of these buildings not be retrofitted and put back in operation? There's too much of a mentality of just erecting new shiny buildings and not standardized maintenance plan. It's cost effective to maintain and extend the life of a building. We're losing what little greenery we have and increasing our concrete jungles. And this is an email from an observer. Dr. Brad Stocks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Ricker.
How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good, you know.
Good.
Now, Peter, I want to speak about this here Washington University, but I'm mm-hmm. going to be very careful because, you know, it's a matter before the law courts. Now, Patrick, like, he seems to hide my notes because there's some things that he mentioned that he also a concern about. And I must first ask you before I go to my point. This university came under the Ministry of Education. Hello?
Are you in Imagine, sir?
Right. So the Ministry of International Business would have anything to do with this as well?
The Ministry of International? I don't know.
Oh, because, you know, they're also responsible for offshore companies and so on coming to this country. But my concern is this. If this university, Washington University, did not have accreditations, how were the students able to get student visas? Anyone could answer that question for me?
That when what? Sorry, sir?
If the university did not have accreditations, how could the students were able to get student visas?
That's a departure point.
Right.
Because you had to be studying at an institution that is in existence.
Exactly so. Yeah. So that's one of my concerns. The next concern I have is in order to get a student visa, you have to go through immigration. So it means that someone at immigration need to explain this matter to us as well. Also, I read in the paper that there's a huge water bill, electricity bill, that is why the utilities were turned off. But I'm hearing now that they are back on. I would like to know who pays to get these.
But you know who paying? You know who paying? You and me paying?
Okay.
So because you can't have people in a building like that without water and electricity, because then you will have a public health crisis and the whole country will pay.
No, that's why you're asking this question, because it's very important.
No, you and I will have to pay the bill. It's as simple as that. But the point is that the other aspect of it is the public health aspect, and that's even worse.
Correct. I just because I answer the question because you want the people in this country to understand what's really going on here.
Yeah.
I also want to know who is responsible for the students now.
But that I don't know. I don't know.
I believe they indicate the government.
It's responsible for the self.
You mean just like that, Peter?
I don't know. I can't answer those questions.
Right, you see, that's why you're answering this question, because, I mean, this is a very, very serious matter. And people need to understand what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I also would like to know if government will have to continue to foot the bill until a resolution is found on this matter. That's why I believe that there need to be a third investigation into the Ministry of Education and whoever else may be responsible for what's happening with this university now, because it is not looking too good.
It doesn't agree.
Right, so that's why I really answer the question, because there's serious matters, Peter, and I really would like to get some answers on it, especially as far as the student visa is concerned. Because I know to get a student visa, you got to go through immigration. And at the same time, this university should have sort of some kind of accreditation. So that's my concern, Peter.
Okay.
I thank you.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot. And I am in full agreement with you that there are a lot of questions that need to be answered on this. But the problem is the people who need to answer the questions are talking. Gentleman who called from Newcastle, St. John, as a person who also lives in St. John, let me begin by pointing out the fact that while the then Prime Minister, Mr. Oinas, represented his constituency and fixed the roads, etc., in that parish, take a drive in St. John and the roads are the worst in Barbados. The newly elected polyclinic lacks staff. The St. John Primary School needs repairing. Where I live, no form of public transportation passes even close, and I have to travel a distance that takes 25 minutes to get to the bus stop, and the road is lonely and has limited lighting. I am trusting in our new representation, Mr. Charles Griffith, to truly represent us where no such representation was available before. And this is a WhatsApp message that I have received. Good morning and welcome.
You have a problem with talking with you.
How are you, sir? How are you?
I supposed to go to the pleasantries as
my
well.
Favorite.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
My favorite caller.
Today? I'm your favorite caller.
Yes.
You keep her there for half hour talking whatever she's taught.
Because she went to foundation, you went to lodge. You are a lesser mortal.
I went to Harrison's College.
You went to Harrison College. You went to lodge. You went to Harrison College to sixth form.
That doesn't qualify you
to be a college student. 2 years? No. It's the fundamentals.
Man, come on, man. You know me that well, right?
You will always be a lodge boy.
All right. Whatever you think, whatever pleases you, whatever floats your boat, my man, I'm not going to pose that day in public. You know what I mean? We can talk in private, man. I'll shut you down if you have to.
I must
I'm
tell you.
I'm a college boy in my mind, okay?
I must tell you that I enjoyed our conversation last week, even though you were a little hard on the Christians. But
yeah, but I could be hard on the lawyers, too. Because okay. Here it goes. I always oppose lawyers and stuff. Oh, why this man don't leave the lawyers alone? What did they ever do you and thing? When I talk to you, whenever I have to wait online to speak with you, you say things that, oh, okay, I can talk with that instead. Oh, you come with that, I can talk with that instead. It's about 10 different things you come up with. So I only got to choose one, apparently. I really want to talk about you accusing me of voting for the Barbados Labour Party. It's my fault. The Democratic Labour Party is my fault. I've not voted for the DLP in 15, 25 years. And it's my fault that those past 10 years came about. What are you going to blame me for? Seriously, I've not voted for them in 25 years. Are you going to blame me for the past 10 years? You see, the problem is that you have an approach that gives people the belief that this process is the correct one. It is right. There's something proper about this. You go to a voting booth, you got like 30 seconds, a minute to go and put an X somewhere, and when it is done, it is your fault. Everything happens afterwards is your fault. It is not my fault. We got a governance model that needs to be seriously fixed, at least taken out and redone somehow. The DLP is not my fault, friend. Over 70% of the population did not vote for the DLP for the past 10 years.
Well, 70% of the population vote for the BLP, though.
No, not even this time around, 70% of the population didn't even vote for this administration that we have now. Hmm. And this is going to be their fault, too. It is not their fault.
Mr. Anti-America, this is the first popular government that we have had since independence, where the number of people in Barbados who are eligible to vote, at least half of them have voted in support of the government that won. This is the first time in history this has
over
ever happened.
Over half of them have voted against the last administration.
No.
Say
that's
it's
not
a
true.
Combination of
I told you that it's not true.
This is a combination of things. They voted against the last administration.
Well, whatever they do, but they voted in support of the Barbados Labour Party.
No.
At least there's progress.
That is progress. When you jump from the pot into the fire and say the fire too hot, you jump back into the pot. That is progress. Seriously, you think about that for a minute. Huh? Miss Foundation talk about how Miss Motley can speak so well in public, and she can. The woman is a gifted person. In fact, she's also very good looking. I've met Miss Motley once in my life, and my first opinion of, my God, this woman is a good looking person. She is. She impresses me based on her presentation skills.
Are you allowed to say the Prime Minister is attractive on the radio, though? There really is.
But I ain't get cut. You get cut about 4 times this morning already, but I ain't get cut yet. Huh? She's a very attractive woman. She speaks very well. I do not judge Miss Motley on her looks or presentation skills. I judge her on her ability to do.
Yeah.
Or what she has done.
Did you judge Frandell Stewart on his looks or presentation skills?
Yeah, no, I did. I said Mr. Stewart and all that good. I'm serious. I judge that man bad because of his looks. I did.
You didn't find him good looking?
No. Yeah. And he was also very old. He was too old for the job. I never... I judged him inappropriately from day one. But I never was incorrect. I did the right thing, as it turned out. But here we have a very attractive Prime Minister who speaks extremely well, and people are going to fall for that crap. Well, you're going to fall for it. See what she has done first. See how she's reducing costs before she goes talk to public service and send people home. Because that's what she plans to do. You can send home a stenographer because you don't need them no more. You can send home a van driver because we got email. See why it is that you have.
But what's your problem with that approach?
Okay, because the person before me spoke about minimum wage. And you say, oh my goodness, wait, there are two sides to the coin. You can't accept $6, but the person can't afford to pay you $6. My man, lawyers have their scale of fees legislated. You are legally obligated to pay a lawyer based on fees that are in law.
Right.
And you look at me, a prime minister is one of them people there. She's one of them. She comes from that environment.
But that's your mantra all the time. You have an issue with lawyers. Look,
I have an issue with the way they are remunerated, where they're rewarded.
Well, you find they're paid too much money? Do you find they're paid too much money?
I find that they need to compete like everybody else in the open market. You got 35 lawyers coming into the market every year, yet the scale of fees didn't change.
Well,
huh? You know, a lawyer should come to you as a member of the public.
That's not a problem. I have said to you.
For $10 because I competed with everybody else.
I got that. We had this conversation already, and I have said to you that the issue is not the issue is not that lawyers do it. The issue is that you can't.
Employees are made for $6 an hour less.
But the issue is that you can't.
Defend them. Minimum wage has to happen, my friend. If you cannot employ a human being, don't employ one.
Sir, the issue...
I'm the product. My man, I'm a product of a slave. Okay, my great-great-grandfather...
Are you too?
...for free. No, not you. You white. What's wrong with you? Something different about you. I'm the product of a slave.
You more white than me. You got pretty hair.
Work for free. And all of a sudden, it is right that we should have no minimum wage because the employer can't afford to pay you $6 an hour. You are wrong. You are so wrong. But the problem is nobody can't tell you that, eh?
You
so
can tell me. You can tell me, but I ain't just got this. I wouldn't agree with you.
It's not going to make a difference. You are a product of a slave. That should be the last thing that should come through your mouth. Minimum wage has to happen.
I don't have a difficulty with minimum wage. All I'm saying...
Prime ministers, our lawyers over. You passed 7 prime ministers besides Owen Arthur and the school teacher were lawyers.
You venomous today, boy. I don't know what is with you and these lawyers.
Huh?
What is with you and these lawyers?
Because they are defended by minimum wage. All of a sudden, it's good for them, but it's not good for the guy that scholar said that he deserved to get more than $6 an hour.
And did they say that he doesn't deserve to get more than $6 an hour?
If a legal prime minister decide, okay, I get done this foolishness now. If lawyers come into work and they're going to have to work like anybody else, and you know, they earn their living, not based on their talent, you know, not based on their worth or the fact that they got 15 degrees and they're smarter than me, they get paid because of the value of the land. Or the value of the contract that they're associated with. You got millionaires coming out. I'm driving big Mercedes Benz that can't even add two numbers together. I know a lot of them. A lot of dummy people.
The lawyers?
Yes, because they can associate their...
Call one or two of them name.
Yeah, because that... Who the guy that keeps calling you up talking about anonymity? The man that retired.
This Carl Moore? You
know, his pension in check for the past 10 years.
Call one or two of the names of the lawyers that drive big cars that can't add one or two.
Why should I involve myself with something that will be cut anyway? Because you like talking to me? He can cut me. Dennis Johnson going to cut me. You let me engage in your call. You like talking to me.
Look.
That's what you like doing. If lawyers could come out and say, okay, I'm done with this foolishness. You talk about development. Is it development or not? Those men still walking about. In fact, it was only about 5 years ago they stopped taking off your hats. Done little things to put up in their head. What do they call them again? Wigs.
Wigs, yeah.
You ever speak to a lawyer yet? Double negatives, man. They come with the most old-fashioned language that's so important and impressive. When you decipher what they've said, it really is nothing.
But then I have no problem. Listen.
You don't have a problem because they're determined public policy. Mm. And if you take somebody from that particular environment and say, hey, you're going to be the head, and you know will determine public policy, what do you expect?
Let me ask you a question. You and I are both business people.
I am not a business person.
I know, but let's imagine
I'm an expert in a particular field. Right. I have no choice but to compete.
And the point I am making is what prevents your clients and my clients from not paying us higher fees?
What prevents?
Yeah.
The market determines if you know. I think I'm very good at what I do, but if the market don't think so,
lawyers are in a unique position where they control the agency of the state and they have been able to manipulate the market legislatively.
And you are comfortable with that?
It's not a question that I am comfortable with it.
I come and talk about it is a problem. Why am I talking?
It is not that I am comfortable with it. All I am saying is that is it that we are uncomfortable with the system, or is it that we are jealous that we can't do it for our own self?
Well, you don't have to speak to yourself. Speak for you and not for me. Every time you say we, you include me.
I'm saying that we both run businesses.
Huh?
We both work for ourselves. We can feel the pain. And I am saying that if we had control of the agency of the state, we would probably legislate our own salaries too.
So I should go and run for parliament too.
I said this a long time ago. You should put your money where your mouth is.
I can put my money do what? Me, like, put it behind a political party?
No, you put yourself behind a political party.
You saw.
You seem to be very sweet on Lynette Eastman. Why you never run for UPP?
Lynette is my friend, and so too is the engineer guy.
I'm your friend too?
Huh?
I'm your friend too?
If you're my friend, man, you could be my friend with Peter, man. Huh? You don't believe anything I say is right. You cuss me all the time. Everything I say is, you don't agree. I mean, how can you be my friend? We don't agree for nothing. Friends normally agree at least on one thing.
But somebody is here saying, look, this man is raising his blood pressure for nothing. This is Barbados and it will never change.
You hear that? That is why you should raise my blood pressure. That's nonsense.
Yo.
That is absolute.
You carry us into the regional wrong. The final word from you, sir.
There, man.
All right. Thank you for calling, Mr. Anti-America. It's always good to do battle with you. As we call it a battle of wits. One of my favorite callers. 53 minutes past the hour of 11. We're going to have to take a break for the regional roundup. We shall be back with you in 10 minutes. Do stay with us.